If the Wild do look to make a big trade to free up some cap space, who could potentially move and who is safe? We discuss on today's episode of Locked On Wild.
You're Locked On Wild. Your daily podcast on the Minnesota Wild. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Wild, your daily Minnesota Wild podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. If it's your first listen today, welcome in. We hope you continue to listen throughout the rest of the offseason and beyond. If you are an everydayer, welcome back. On today's episode of Locked On Wild, we ask the fans as we talk with Wild fan Luke Leshefsky about how the season ended and where the Wild need to go from here. Today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. You can download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off of your first purchase. My name is Seth Topol, your daily Minnesota Wild insider. And as mentioned, we're getting a fan's perspective today. Luke Leshefsky joins us. Luke, thanks for joining the show today. I know you are excited to share some thoughts on how the season ended and kind of how we go from here. First off, how are you holding up with the fact that the Wild are not in the postseason currently?
Thanks, Seth. No, it's really, really fun to be here. I'm excited to share my opinions. And I'm holding up. It's, you know, what, 7 years in a row of, not in a row, we got 8 years in a row of at least being bounced in the first round. 1 year we didn't make it, but seven straight first round exits. It's tough. It's frustrating. I think at this point I've gotten good enough at kind of putting that in a bucket in my brain and just forgetting about it after about a week. And right now there's more pressing matters to be worried about than our first round exit, because that's in the past for me. Right now it's who are we going to be walking into 23-24 with? And in the sense of cap space, there are going to be cuts that I'm concerned about, because this team this year I really loved, and I don't want to see any of them go. I thought it was a really solid group, and we just, you know, same old song and dance, injuries happen. The team gets jumped on, gets, you know, discouraged from what it looked like, and first round bounce.
Yep.
But overall, it's the cap space that's kind of concerning me as far as holding up.
For sure. And we're going to take a look today at pretty much everybody that's going to be maybe on the roster going forward to try to find a way to drum up some cap space. There are some names that could likely be on the move, so we'll talk about that. But I did want to just dive into just some of the picking up the pieces from the postseason being done. I like how you compartmentalize that in that, yes, we did see another postseason exit, but like, it's happened, it's history. Let's focus on like what we do going forward. And so, just what is your level of confidence in the direction that this team is pushing in? You know, where are you at right now? Are you still confident in the direction this team's going? The moves that are being made, what's your overall level of acceptance, satisfaction with what we've seen from Bill Guerin from a management side so far?
Management side? I grew up with Chuck Fletcher, and seeing Billy G captain our ship, man, that has been amazing. I've been absolutely, like, I have rave reviews for him. I trust him. He doesn't mess around, which is my favorite thing, is this man will make the painful cuts that need to be made. So when push comes to shove, I'm glad that he's our GM right now. Obviously, like, you know, there are some questionable things currently, like Ryan Reeves. He's, you know, I have my plus and my minuses with him, obviously, because he's, you know, a big body, doesn't, you know, produce a whole lot. But those kids that were chirping him sent him into motion, and he's proven that he can do it when he wants to. But again, Billy Guerin is easily so far my favorite GM that's been for the Wild so far. Dean, love Dean. I think he makes a couple of questionable game time decisions with the goalies, especially in playoffs, is when it really shows. Because watching, you know, Gustafson and Fleury split the net basically this year, that was something I'm not familiar with NHL teams doing, and mm-hmm. it worked. Our goalies were, for more or less, I mean, Gustafson was second best in the league as far as I'm concerned. If he would have kept going, the regular season extended, he would have still been in that like top three, I'm convinced. And he's, what is he, 24?
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I don't know why we didn't play him in game two, because he's young. He had a big game. Obviously, that can be tiring, but with a day in between, he can bounce back still. I could understand it because, like, Fleury, you know, he's, I think it was 37, 38?
Yeah. He's getting up there.
And that's harder when I'm only 27, and it's harder for me to bounce back from the gym now than I was when I was 24. But, like, when you're older, it's tougher. When you're younger, you're, like, elastic.
Yeah.
Essentially. So that was a questionable one. Like, last year when he chose game six, we played Talbot. That was, again, questionable. I don't think Evanson is the issue mainly. I mean, looking at our PK was just horrendous in playoffs this year. Our power play, albeit was average, I can live with that, but it was showing signs of wavering, and that's a problem in the future. Right now, Apex issue is the penalty kill, as what was it, 9 goals that Dallas got on us from the penalty kill. That's just, it's unacceptable from a fan standpoint. I hate seeing that because I know 5-on-5, I'm confident we were the better team 5-on-5, and to play what felt like half of the time 5-on-5, it's, you're asking a lot from that, because with Ottinger in net, the man was solid. He was completely, he was a brick wall against us. And 5-on-5, you need time to work around him, figure him out. And it's just, you know, more or less a tall task.
Yeah.
If the PK is constantly giving up goals.
It certainly makes it more difficult to win a series if you're not able to own that special teams battle. Well, let's get to the meat and potatoes of the episode today, looking at some of those guys who are going to be leaving, some of the guys that are currently on the team that may not. We'll try to see if we can find some room to create some cap space as we continue today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. There is nothing more stressful than trying to find tickets for your favorite sporting events the day of, and it shouldn't be an issue. Well, now Game Time is here to try to help. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. The best part about the Game Time app is it shows you images of your seats before you buy them. They also have the lowest price guarantee, plus event cancellation protection, job loss protection, and more. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off of your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Continuing today's episode of Locked On Wild, once again, thanks for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Everydayers, make sure you tune in tomorrow as we will finally now get to the Path series that I have been teasing all week. taking a look at how some of the recent Stanley Cup champions got to where they did at the top of the mountain. So tune in for that tomorrow. Should be an interesting look at how the last few Stanley Cup champions have found a way to get it done. Continuing to get some fan perspective, Luke Lyshevsky joins us today. And Luke, let's just start going through some of the names. We'll start on defense because it's where a lot of the money's at. And if you look at, in terms of who is safe, Jonas Brodin, Jared Spurgeon making the most money on the D-Core right now. You have Matt Dumba, who is going to be a free agent here this offseason, John Klingberg as well. You've also got money tied into Jake Middleton, Alex Goligoski, and John Merrill, while also needing to re-sign Kalen Addison if that's a route that you want to go. So who in your mind should be safe defensively? If there are names that are going to be moved, who would you look to potentially move?
Seth, it's not easy deciding who needs to move always. And I want to preface this. I don't want any of these guys to go. I think our team has been fantastic for the most part in the regular season. And obviously this is just my opinion, so I don't want anyone to jump down my throat with this. But with 14 mil and some change in dead cap space, cuts have to be cut. Cuts have to be made. And for the organization to keep moving forward where we are in our current situation, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And I am not necessarily ready for that, but push comes to shove and we have to be. So the ones that I think are safe, obviously Spurgeon, Brodin, they've both been awesome for us. Middleton, I do like Middleton. He's decent. From a fan's perspective, Klingberg was a great rental. Like everybody else, I'm just going to echo it. He was a great rental for us. He did what we needed him to do, and in some scenarios didn't. I'm not convinced at 3.5 mil with this current, you know, cap hit. It's just, I don't think that we can afford him for another season or two. So great rental. It's, we're going to have to let him walk.
Yeah.
Personally. And that's on the same tone of that. Matt Dumba has been, he was a rock for us in playoffs this year from what I watched. He elevated his game. He played at a level we hadn't really been familiar with from him in a long time. And watching him for, what is it, the last 10 years he's been with us?
Yeah.
It's tough. It hurts. I'm a sentimental guy. I see him. I see how bought in he is and how much Minnesota means to him. Personally, I would like to see him back for another year. Objectively, I can't, you know, say that that's going to be his new standard, his playoff hockey. We can't know that's going to be what he brings in the regular season for the rest of the next year, you know? And at $6 million, that's a lot of cap space when you look at, like, what Gustafson deserves. We have to re-sign Addison. Now we've got Brock Faber we've got to prepare for. It'll be an impossible task, I think, to bring him back, sadly. So that's definitely going to be some news that I have been anticipating for a long time just to mentally prep myself for. Goligoski, he's old. I think that's 2 mil. It's not like the biggest hit in the world. It's 2 mil, but he is, you know, 37. He's on that 35-plus contract. I don't know if he's doing more good for us than bad, but he's, you know, been with us for a while now, and he's a household name, but I think it might be time just to maybe see where that goes, maybe deal him somewhere. I don't know. I'm not an expert in contracts, but I think there's room for somebody different.
Yeah,
as far as he's concerned.
I agree, and Michael Russo and Joe Smith in their latest piece for The Athletic hinted at that a little bit, that it sounds like Bill Guerin is going to have a chat with Goligoski to see what options are on the table. If I am remembering correctly, he does have a no-move clause, but if he waived it, ultimately, didn't play a ton this year unless there were injuries, and so maybe he's amenable to going to a spot where he's going to actually play. I think the two that are most likely of the D-core grouping to move are Goligoski and John Merrill, because you got Brock Faber taking a spot. You could slot Addison into one of those spots. And you've got some guys in the pipeline that could play back-end roles and not hurt you in the ways that some of these third-line guys have. And so I think of the two most likely to move, I think it's got to be Goligoski and John Merrill. And then that's like $4.5 million, I think, in savings, which is not a lot, but it also is... That's a couple of players that you want to re-sign that then you are able to do that with.
It's something, you know? It's something. And with our ball and chain behind us, that dead cap space, something is better than nothing.
Right.
I don't want to say we have to grasp at straws, but there's people who hold high value that we might be able to get draft picks for or something that would we could take their cap and allocate it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could take the hit they give us and put it somewhere else that's maybe more productive and influential, because let's be honest, we have a deep prospect list. We have a good AHL team that we can pull from and that we do pull from a lot of times. And I love that that happens, because you don't see a whole lot of teams pulling so many guys up and throwing them back down and pulling them up. I mean, it might be exhausting for those guys, but like, they're getting that NHL time that they're going to need soon, because with this cap space, guys have to go.
Yeah.
Slots open up. And then our farm team can come up and we can shift lower pieces, you know? So I truly think that we might even have replacements on D down below that we could bring up that would be more affordable for us. And we're young. So we're going to come to that point where our average age might turn down to like 27, 28. And that's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, because in just reading the tea leaves on Twitter, in the comments here on Locked on Wild episodes on YouTube, I think a lot of people are okay with that in like these next couple of years. It's time to start seeing what some of these young players have, and, you know, allowing for a guy like Kalen Addison to work through some of the issues, quote unquote, in 5-on-5 and on defense, while allowing him to further do what he does on special teams. But like, you can fix all that stuff all you want in practice. At the end of the day, those guys have to play. And so if this is a situation where now Addison gets like a full-time spot as one of those defensemen, let's make that happen.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, you know, it's going to be interesting, but I think if you have the right mindset on it, it's going to be really cool to see.
Yeah. 100%. Let's flip to the forwards, because there are also some interesting potential names to look at that could be moved in the forward grouping as well. And so to finish today's episode of Locked on Wild, we'll take a look at who may go for the forwards. That's on the way after this. Final segment of today's episode of Locked on Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked on Wild your first listen each and every day. Everydayers, make sure that you tune in tomorrow as we kick off The Path. We'll take a look at the path to the Stanley Cup for the last few Stanley Cup winners and see if we can pull any similarities from any of the ways that they got it done. And then we're starting player evals next week. Full episode evals for everybody that was on the Wild roster this season. So that'll take us about right up to the draft. So looking forward to that as well. Seth Topal joined by Luke Lyshevsky today. And Luke, let's talk forwards to finish. Just looking at some of the names that may be moved to try to free up some cap space. So the free agents that we have, let's start with those guys. I'm just going to ask you which ones you would like to see back? Gustav Nyquist, Oscar Sundquist, Ryan Reeves. Of those three unrestricted free agents, any of those guys that you would like to see come back if the money's right?
I don't think I'm alone in this. I think Nyquist should come back. We didn't get to see a whole lot of him, but what we saw was really good. Sundquist also made a strong case for himself to come back here. I wouldn't be upset by that. You know, Reeves, I really don't have so much confidence in, just because with his, you know, with his cap hit, it's going to be really tough. Because what's he got? 1.75 mil. That's, we have big bodies. We have people, you know, like Foligno and Middleton, who can get, you know, they can ring some bells if they need to. We don't necessarily have room for what Bill Guerin said was a specialist. And he's the kind of specialist that doesn't, because he's there to control, you know, dirty hits and kind of the overall aggression from the other team. Because when he steps on the ice, his presence is known. Mm-hmm. He does a really, really good job of making sure funny business doesn't happen. But then you look at playoffs and everybody's talking about it. What happened with Suter? The guy took shots at our number one repeatedly, and he basically got off scot-free.
Yeah.
You know, and as an, I don't know if the term enforcer would be, you know, appreciated, but like as an enforcer, like that is your job. That's your guy. He's hurting our guy. Defend him. Like do something to make it known that you don't mess with him.
Yeah.
That he's untouchable. He should be untouchable.
And that's, I think that's the most frustrating part about it too, is that, yeah, it may have been, it probably would have taken one game to just get all of that out of the system. Like you're losing in game two and some of that stuff's happening. So you retaliate there, or even in game one, that game went pretty back and forth. If you end up trying to shut that stuff down immediately and you lose game one, then it's taken care of and then you move on to the rest of the series. But it just lingered. It lingered. Mm-hmm. It lingered. So
yeah,
I'm right with you there. Let's look at some of the guys that are on the roster but could potentially be moved. I know the big one, but he has a no movement clause, is Matt Zuccarello. Do you look at all, if you have the opportunity to make the decision, do you look at all at moving Matt Zuccarello to potentially free up $6
million? It's tricky because, I mean, you look at the chemistry he had with Kaprizov and the sense of those guys. I think last season, they were killer. They were just a deadly duo. I mean, it looked like Crosby and Gensel. They just went back and forth with each other. It's nuts, man. And this year, it was more of the same until Kaprizov got injured. And it felt like he went quiet, which was scary. But I don't think I mess with that too much. I think maybe when contract renegotiation comes up, you figure out what you sign, if you move up or down with the money, depending on what his last year on his contract looks like.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when he becomes an unrestricted free agent, Kaprizov's his guy. That's his boy. Those guys have something interesting. If you watch them, they're funny together. They know they have that chemistry. I don't want to mess with that. What I'm looking at is Foligno, because he's very good at what he does. And again, he's a big body. He was, I think, what, the most penalized man on our team.
Yep.
And that hurts. That hurt us in a big way going into playoffs. And I feel like he has a lot of value to the team as well as other teams. And he's, you know, what is it, 3.1 mil. Mm-hmm. That's valuable. That's a lot of money with what we're dealing with right now. Relatively speaking, that's a lot. So I think we shop him around. We don't have to trade him, but we should definitely shop him around. One that I'm sad about is Mason Shaw, fourth ACL tear. And I know that it's got to be in his mind of, how much longer can I come back from these? Because, I mean, you tear your ACL once, it's tough. Twice, it's doable. Three times, they almost advise you to stop playing. And four times, I don't know what his doctor's telling him, but that's tough. It's sad. He's young. He's good. Do we have the, you know, wherewithal to take a shot on a guy who might pull it a fifth time, might tear himself a fifth time? And that is kind of career ending in my mind, health wise. You have to think about yourself. I mean, look at Bo Bennett. That man was injured all the time. If that's a league known thing, because I mean, moving out here to Pittsburgh, you hear all about him, and he had to step away because he just kept getting hurt and it was so hard. And that, I think, is our Bo Bennett, in a sense, is he might be gone because of that. But right now, it's tough. You can look at Johansson. We kind of leaned on him in the sense of go to the blue line, throw it back. He carries it in, which was really cool. I think he has value, but we can shop him around. There's people we can shop around who have cap hits over $2 million that can get us to where we need to go to survive, because we have to sign big guys. I'm so nervous for Gustafson's contract cap-wise going to goalies, because in my head, we're done worrying about goalies for the foreseeable future.
Right.
We have Flower, Hint, we have Gustafson, we have Wallstedt coming up through the ranks quickly. So what forwards do we give up to the point where we can afford these assets? Those three are all, you know, due for their money. Wallstedt will prove himself, I'm confident. So it's a toss-up. It's definitely a toss-up.
Yeah.
Foligno's my biggest. I got my eye on him.
Well, and that one, that does seem, because Guerin can go to Matt Zuccarello and say, hey, would you be willing to waive to potentially go somewhere? If he says no, like, then there's really nothing you can do about that until you revisit it at a later point. But Foligno doesn't have that protection, and so that would be an opportunity for them to try to move. Ryan Hartman is another one.
He's 90 minutes in penalties, man. It kills me. It really kills me, because he's good. He grinds. He's gritty. And he gets it done. That man was playing. What was his injury at the end? Like, what he was playing on? It was like,
I know it was a knee injury.
He was not in a good space.
No.
But he was still going through it and getting what we needed to do done. But again, I think it might be a mistake to trade him. He's got big value for us subjectively. And a 1.7 mil hit isn't the worst. But I think you need to seriously sit these guys down and talk to them and say, hey, please clean it up. We're going to have a conversation about this. Because, like, oh, man, what were his points this season? He had 37 points. He was plus 7 and 90 minutes of penalties. It's tough because it's really conflicting.
Well, and it's, we saw the, well, for the last 2 years, we've seen kind of the full Ryan Hartman experience with scoring 34 goals, I think it was, last year, and being just this dominant part of the offense that helped really push the team to new levels. And then you see the guy this year that at the beginning of the year couldn't stay out of the penalty box. Like, no matter what he did, he did get back on track at the end, but it's like, which one is he? Is he, you know, is he the 34 goal guy, or is he the 90 minute penalty guy? It's somewhere in between, but like, which side of that coin is he more towards? And so that is a good one to look at as well. And so, you know, moral of the story here for today's episode is that there's a lot to look at. There's a lot that should be looked at for this team as they move into next season. And hopefully some of those answers will become clear as we go.
Yeah, we got to be patient. That's number one. I know the fans got frustrated this year. There was booing. There were mock cheers. It got hard, and it showed with the fans. And that's, you know, not typical of us as a fan base. I grew up knowing the fans to cheer on the boys if they're down 4-1, to try to elevate them when they are struggling to come up with motivation themselves. this year was different. It was a different tone. We're frustrated. We're sick of it. We just need to be patient because after the next two seasons, man, things are going to happen. We were going to see the real Bill Guerin and what he can do with $14 extra million. So it's going to get really exciting, but we got to weather the storm.
Yeah.
We're almost out of it, man. We can't let our frustrations get the best of us and get down on our boys. We are one of the most important people on the team as a fan base.
Well said. Using these next 2 years to just see what we've got with some prospects, fine-tune things so that when you get to 2025, 2026, you hit the ground running. You've got 14 mil to spend on a center, a top six forward, a top four defenseman, whatever you need. You've got the money to spend on it.
I would split it up, honestly. I would love to get like three above average players than one superstar, because we're proving Eck is there. Boldy's, he's there. We've got superstars, man. I mean, look at the Oilers. Their centers do a lot for them. We need better centers.
Yep.
I would love to see three above average centers come in and see if we shake things up and start winning faceoffs more, you know?
I like that. Well, we'll see what happens. Luke, I appreciate the time today. Thanks for coming on, and we'll definitely have to do this again. We'll try to do this for other fans as well. Want to really try to get more of the fan perspective on this show as we move through the off season. So listeners, I'll try to incorporate more of this in. But that'll do it for today's episode. So now that you have finished today's listen for Locked On Wild, make sure to follow along on YouTube and subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms if you don't already. If this is your first listen to this show today, thank you for tuning in. If you are an everydayer and you listen each and every day of the week, or you listen to a handful of episodes throughout the week, if you are a repeat listener of this show, we'll see you tomorrow as we bring you yet another episode of Locked On Wild as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.